Okay, welcome back to Saffron Planet. We have the Keenses and a pair of Joneses this time.
Hello.
Hello.
It's not just me and Mrs. Jones. me and Mr. and Mrs. Jones. Yeah, we have David Jones as well as Joe. Who's going to kick off? Mike, you've always got something to say.
You forgot about inviting the kitchen staff.
Oh, yeah. Didn't I mention you?
No.
And Monica.
Thank you.
We're just coming back. Monica and I have only just recovered from our last conference, in many ways.
And we had the delegates too soon.
Got what? Which was 6 weeks ago. Normally it takes a lot quicker to... is that a snide remark or something? Why is she laughing over there? What?
Delegates? Whether they've recovered, I don't
know. The delegates or the delegates.
The delegates.
They're all a bit delicate, yeah, weren't they?
Oh, dear. This means I'm going to have to do some editing. It's normally quite smooth and there's no editing required. But anyway, so the conference, anyone want to summarise it in no more than five words?
It was very interesting. Felt I grew as a Christian and came out of it a different person, more mature, I think. Yeah. The experience matured me.
Do you think that was across the board with lots of people? We've had lots of positive feedback. we've had a lot of variable feedback from people who weren't quite used. Well, they were used to a certain way of doing things, and this one sort of broke all the rules, didn't it? In the sense of upsetting the apple cart and, you know, providing seeds of possible conflict, bringing the word and the spirit together.
Not that we intended to do that.
I did, in a sense. No, I wanted to stir things up. Always said, we always knew with David and Brian coming that there will be some stirring up.
Was it you wanted to stir up and why?
Well, the thing is, what's the point of going to a conference if you're just there and anything you get at that conference you could get from YouTube or audios afterwards? I just felt that our conferences should be about people reacting together to whatever's thrown at them, which you can't get unless you are there. We haven't really, I mean, our last one, Foundations 4, is quite safe, isn't it? I mean, we came back, we felt very satisfied about it, but then when you analyse that, it's because nothing happened. We had teachers, David, you were one of the teachers, we had loads of teaching and the teaching was all good, but we didn't stir anyone up in a sort of memorable way. And people didn't go on a real journey, I don't think.
The word challenge, really, to stirring people, because you don't intentionally want to stir. It's quite a negative thing, but challenging is good. Challenging ourselves is...
Because we don't want people just to have knowledge. We want them to move on in their lives. Mm. I don't think any Christians should be satisfied to stay where they are, you know, unless we are in a position that Paul wanted to get to, where he's walking down a road and his shadow falls on people and they get healed. Yeah. If we're there, we've got some journey. And I think we all need to be in that place of on a journey, growing with God. And I think there is a tendency in our busy Western lives to get into rhythms of life and actually not go on that journey. I think one of the most important thing that I learned is that you come to church or church meetings or Christian gatherings, you come with a whole lot of scriptural understanding, and you also come with a whole lot of cultural expectation. And sometimes separating those two things out is really difficult. And I realised actually in the conference that there are a lot of people from different cultural backgrounds. Mm. And the key thing for me that I learned is there has to be love. Everything we do has to be soaked in love, and we have to check our motives and our attitude to each other. And if it's not done in love, then the whole thing, it's got a danger zone because of people's different cultural expectations. Mm.
I mean, I saw it as sort of denominational differences. It suddenly came up. It's interesting because we talk about, you know, not just Hebrew roots, but being Hebraic. And it's easy to think we're being Hebraic when we have
knowledge of Hebrew roots, but it's I feel like the rubber hit the road a bit, so to speak, at the conference, because suddenly people were being challenged about whether they're Pentecostal or charismatic or whatever, or you know, a cessationist, or what, you know, all of the sort of, I don't know where different people are, I don't know how many different sort of denominational representations there were, or as you say, culture, whichever it is, it might be a bit a mixture of, you know, they sort of overlap, but I think the actual sort of the reactions, it shows you that there is something about living out being a Christian that's, it's not until you're confronted with things that could possibly challenge you to your core, and how do I respond to that? And excuse me, I felt that's something that I sort of saw quite early on. I felt I was, this is what I was seeing. This is like about the body and how we, excuse me, how we sort of relate to one another and how we deal with quite difficult things for some people, I think, as well.
Well, it's just that previous conferences have been mainly like-minded people. Is that most people who came were people that had been before or knew about us or knew my books or were part of CFI or PFI or the normal organisations. But this time we did have a group of people who were from outside that fold, and in particular three of our speakers were very much from a different background, you know, more Pentecostal background. And it was just interesting. It would have been interesting for a dispassionate observer to actually observe what actually happened from the outside. It was difficult for us because we were right in the middle of it. But to actually see when did things start to go, you know, a little bit awry. You know?
We're saying, we're using the word challenge now, but wouldn't some people think they were ambushed a bit as well? You know, in terms of...
Not intentionally.
If you go for a particular... You have an expectation... You know, people come to a conference and have an expectation, but you impose another expectation on them, you know, and they react. I'm not, you know, I'm just saying.
Well, the thing is, it was the Word and the Spirit, and I'm now going through the audios, so I'm actually listening to everything. And honestly, even though we had sort of four main speakers, let's say, and you had been one of them, even though Joe, sorry, yeah, pointing at Joe. there was a lot of uniformity in the teaching about, and David's really set the scene in the very first talk, David Andrew, where he talked about his own background, because he started off from a charismatic background and then more reformed as he went along. But so he comes from both worlds, the world, the Word and the Spirit, and he was sort of saying what you said, that love is important, you know, the balance is important. We need to get on with each other. We need to be able to accept our differences. If people had really listened to that and took it in their heart, not just their heads, what happened after that wouldn't have happened. Because what did happen is what he was warning. And we've got that from the very first talk. I mean, I'm only saying that because I've actually just heard it again.
He was talking about how there were two very different streams and how they were going... how they react one to the other, and how we feel we're in one stream or the other stream, and we won't sort of cross that bridge if the other, it's the wrong way round. You know what I mean? People won't go from one bank to the other bank, so to speak.
The other thing I think is that in the Western world, our idea of what church looks like is narrowing. So. The average church in the UK would be singing the same sort of songs, playing electric guitars and drums. And don't get me wrong, I like all that, but not all the time. You know, give me some variety. Why haven't we got 80-year-old preachers in the pulpit? You know, I want to see some variety. I want to see different types of people. And the same sort of people end up preaching, leading, and... For some people, listening to a fiery old style preacher was way, way out of their comfort zone. Does that make it wrong? No, because there's room for the thin, the fat, the ugly, the pretty, the old, the young. There's room for every single person. We're all built differently. Can we not be different
And I think it's interesting for us as a couple because Joe and I definitely come from two very, very different
couple,
spiritual backgrounds, definitely. I definitely err on the side of extreme caution. So I wouldn't say I'm a cessationist, but I'm probably not too far off it, whereas Joe has always been involved in the charismatic. But you can have unity in the midst of that as long as you're prepared to not be so divisive when you listen to something that's uncomfortable. And I think the problem, one of the major problems at the conference was we had dissension and we had people who were challenged and we had people who were tested. But the fruit of that, unfortunately, was a division, which fortunately was resolved by the end of the week. And I think, as you said at the beginning, Monica, I think that's the thing that I will take away, that's the thing that I've learned from it, that actually love covers over a multitude of sins, and we've got to preserve the unity, even if there are dissenting voices.
I think it's good that you said that it did work out by the end, and it was just such a journey, and it's just good that God prevailed at the end. And it could
maybe for the sake of people who weren't at the conference, Steve, maybe say about the bread.
Yeah, a lot of things were actually thrown together at the last minute. I mean, though my team were very unhappy for me to admit this sometimes, but we always, because it was a Jewish festival of Shavuot, we just threw together a Shavuot ceremony reasonably at the end of the night. Most of that was stuff that I'd thought about myself. And one of the things was with Shavuot is that you have two big loaves of bread, challah bread, and they're supposed to signify the tablets of stone that Moses brought down. Also, within the Messianic movement, it sort of also shows the one new man, Jew and Gentile together. So we thought it was very relevant for the conference at the time when we planned it. So we bought the bread, got it in the freezer, brought it out at the right time, had it there, sitting there. But it sort of took on a totally different role because of what happened at the conference. And we just felt that unity was what was needed at the end. We wanted people to go away reconciled where possible with each other. So what I did, I just said towards the end, I just said, well, here's the bread. Between now and the end of the conference, if people could come up and just share from the bread, share with each other, and to take from the bread, to show unity with the conference, with what has happened. After I said that, nothing happened for some time. Then we got into the worship, and then Steve Hamblin, who was helping you, Joe, with the worship, doing the Messianic songs, he started doing the Hinei Matov. What's Hinei Matov mean?
Brothers, unpleasant it is when
brothers dwell.
Yeah, Psalm 133. So Psalm 133. so he struck up that hymn, and it's all about unity and brothers together, and still not very few people had come up and shared the bread. And our very, very good friend and stalwart of David Andrew, who everybody loves, the chap that came in and really rescued the conference at the beginning when Chris Hill couldn't make it. It just occurred to him, wait a minute, where is the unity? We're singing unity, but we're not demonstrating unity. So he just got up and got some of the people together who were a little bit marginalised and went to the front and took bread, and then everyone just followed. And it all sort of broke from then on, didn't it? That there's just a sort of a procession of people sharing the bread, and I don't know, were they hugging and cuddling? I don't know. I don't know, I wasn't watching.
I was.
Were you? Mike and Kate were hugging and cuddling, but that's normal. but it did sort of break the mood. So it was like, it wasn't planned, at the beginning, but God sort of used that as a sort of central focus to bring everyone together at the end.
To say that there were a lot of things that weren't planned because... we were expecting Chris Hill to be there.
Yeah, yeah.
So a lot of changes had to happen in the programme.
Yeah.
Last minute, how do we rearrange things? And, of course, being Shavuot, I always remember Chrissy's great teaching about the two loaves that would have been a wave offering in the temple at the time, and one represented Jew, one represented Gentile. And so, you know, I was expecting all of that, that was planned. But of course, you know, things changed as the week went along. And basically it was day by day trying to work out how do we fill in, you know, the gaps. And
because we had six gaps suddenly appeared, you know, so we had to have, Joe spoke probably longer than you were originally going to, which worked out really well.
I mean, just to backtrack a little bit, I mean, we plan as much as we can. We plan as much as we can beforehand. And something like the Shavuot celebration, often it's quite difficult in a conference setting to know how to celebrate something. It's different in a fellowship because you tend to do things the same way every time. But in a conference setting where you have a wider spread of, you know, people, it's quite difficult to know how to celebrate something and how to do it, you know, in that larger group. So there are some things that actually do come together sometimes as you go through a conference. You know, there are some things that cannot always be planned down to the last.
We couldn't have planned a lot of the stuff that happened. You know, if we had planned for certain people to speak, you know, then we might have known in advance what the consequences would have been. But you know, some things happened at the last minute. Something, we got this DVD from the drama that we did last year, so we filled one of the slots with that. You know, we
only arrived. I think
just arrived there, arrived at the conference. We had someone who we'd only met a couple of weeks earlier, Suzanne Pillins, who I felt, you know, had a good enough testimony to be able to speak, which she did. We won't go fully into everything that happened, just to say that it was an interesting experience. Is anyone going to rescue me?
You don't need to rescue me, Todd.
I think she's a wonderful lady that had a fantastic week, and she's used to ministering in places like India, Africa, and sees phenomenal miracles and wonderful things happen on the streets.
Different many people, completely.
Many people saved. Yeah. And translating that into UK, I'm sure she's really asking God, why on earth has God asked her to stay here? But he has got a purpose for her.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's said that the UK is one of the hardest places to minister.
I can believe that. The cynicism and the general,
and this is one of the themes that came all the way through, and it came from things that you said, David Griffiths, and David Andrew, and Brian, and it was fairly unanimous about the climate in this country compared to the third world, in that the faith atmosphere isn't the same here as it would be in the third world, where miracles do happen, and
they do, talking about Suzanne, because we watched the DVDs prior to going to the conference, and her testimonies are amazing, and the healings were very often was God's way of getting the attention of a village, and so that it was, the idea was that, you know, this was their first experience of God. These people in these villages, you know, whatever they're into, and so God used that to sort of show who he was. And
I mean, these people would already know what voodoo is, or, you know, witchcraft. It would be their channel of healing. It would be the person they go to would be the witch doctor, you know, not obviously everywhere, but, you know, this is like typical of the testaments, and so, you know, God's standing up against a spiritual power, not just power, against medicine and reason. It's a spiritual
and yet the experience, you know, through my, you know, years of it's, you know, Western Christianity is about altar calls, you know. To me, that's what sort of went against me in my mind, that, you know, the altar call, comparing what Suzanne does, you know, in the sort of the third world, if it's not a disparaging thing to say, compared to at a conference in a closed setting, the altar call, it just sort of didn't, you know, the context just seemed a little bit wrong.
I disagree.
Do you?
Yeah. Hey. I mean, I think that there's such a tendency in our country to sit back and observe, but we need to respond. We need to step out and to stand before man and say, I want to move on with God. Now, maybe that made people uncomfortable. And certainly, you know, should we be praying for people for healing in front of everyone? Maybe not. But I think there is a place for altar call, and I think there is a place.
Yeah, but I meant particularly the healing altar call, as opposed to people standing up because they want to commit their life to God.
But
or
that
something.
Particular altar call, she did actually say, expect 100% healing. She actually said that.
And I talked to Suzanne before, and she fully expected that.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. So what happened then?
I think she's used to ministering in a third world country, as Kate was saying.
This is where we... You know, one of the things that impressed me even towards the beginning of the conference, it made me sort of think we would sort of call ourselves the remnant church. And yet, when I was in Suzanne's meeting, as the remnant church, we stayed in our seats and we kept quiet. And, you know, it's like the remnant church needs stirring up. If are we or are we not? And, you know, again, going back to sort of the knowledge compared with faith, you know, and how we respond. We're very safe. We know we're very safe with our knowledge because we have a lot, and we're very good at challenging, you know, some of the things that are going on in our nation. We can challenge anti-Israel sort of negative behavior. We can challenge abortion. We can challenge different things. But when it came to sort of experiential things and dealing with the spiritual realm, which isn't necessarily knowledge-based, it's faith-based, kind of. You know, I think we kind of showed up, it showed up ourselves for what the remnant church is needing. And I think, I mean, I've read some of Susanna's things that she's written, and one of the things, possibly, I think, God's kept her in Britain for is because Britain needs that sort of level of faith, and revival. And, you know, maybe that's one reason why she and maybe other people sort of are here when they could do amazing things in other places. God uses them amazingly in other places. And, you know, I think the remnant church is being challenged.
I want to hold on to my safety blanket when I'm in that kind of meeting. And I think that's because I've had my fingers burnt more than once. Joe and I went to...
That's one of the problems, I think, is definitely. A lot of people are quite mature and experienced and have been through all of these kinds of meetings.
And we've seen the ugly side of it. Joe and I went to Lakeland in Florida when, you know, the whole Tab Bentley thing blew up. I mean, we went over not knowing any of the facts behind what had happened morally to Tab Bentley, but we went across and we saw some pretty awful things. And so my tendency then is always to shrink back into myself and hold on to that security blanket. I'm not going forward. I'm not going to respond to that. And to concentrate fully on the word, to go back to the title for the conference, whereas Joe has always been far more open. And over the years, what I've had to do in order to experience the kind of faith that I see Joe actively pursuing is to open myself up to it a little bit more. But I think also that there does have to be a note of caution. And a note of caution is we do have to test everything as well. And perhaps one of the things that I found quite difficult, I know that a lot of people sat rigidly, like myself, and thought, I'm not responding no matter what's said. But I also think a lot of people did respond and did respond in faith and then didn't see the results that they expected. And there could be 101 different reasons for that. As we've already said, you know, we've got an increasing secularisation in our country. There's a demonic stronghold, even perhaps amongst the remnant church. And trying to pierce that, trying to break through that, is going to be mighty difficult.
David Griffiths called it intellectualism was the biggest problem in the Western church.
I think we have to be very, very careful because of the people that had no hesitation about going up for prayer.
That's right.
I mean, they were people of faith. They were people that believed that things would happen, you do have to go back afterwards and say to God, you know, why? What are our priorities?
I mean, I didn't speak to any of them.
No, but you have to say, what are the important things? Like, you know, Michael, you were saying that a miracle happened in a village to catch people's attention. There was, you know, witchcraft. God had to show his power. You can see a purpose for that in that situation. In our situation, we've got abundant faith. I mean, you can't say that people didn't have faith. I have faith that miracles will happen. I have. Why shouldn't I have faith in the name of Jesus? Why shouldn't I? In the name of Jesus, I totally, because you would be questioning the name of Jesus. So why wouldn't it happen? So then you have to say, okay, God, why? Is it because that healing isn't necessary? Is there something else? And yeah, you know, we mustn't be judgmental about individual people.
We shouldn't even be asking them why. We shouldn't be asking why.
I'll tell you a funny story. A funny story. Suzanne was talking about the beginning of her ministry was the healing of her horse.
Mm.
Yeah? Okay. Just so you know, you probably know this story, but before the conference, we were like a week or two before the conference, and we were just so busy. I mean, it's just you, people don't realise what pressure we're under and how much work there is. And our cat has an allergy to a flea, okay? And honestly, no, listen, this is a, I know, funny story. And I went to the vet and I said, I need this stuff, you know, the drops and everything for fleas. And she said, sorry, you have to bring your cat in. I thought, I don't have the time. I don't have the money for a vet's visit. You know, I've got a conference coming up in about 10 days. And I thought, God, you've got to do something. My back's against the wall here. I cannot do this. And I prayed over our cat several times a day over her bloody scabs and patches and everything. Healed up. Completely healed up. Disappeared. She's not got nothing. It's all gone. Everything, her fur has grown back. Beautiful, as if it never happened. That was prayer. And I believed it, but my back was against the wall at that time and I was desperate. But God does that. When I'm desperate and all I've got is him, he does it. Mm. And it might seem stupid. This is a cat. Mm. But, you know, it happened.
We said earlier that we start to ask questions when we see these people up the front and they were prayed over. And we knew one of them, the story of one of them, when she got out of the wheelchair, it wasn't that she couldn't walk. We knew that she could walk.
Oh.
But the impression was the people that got excited thought that, oh, she's got her legs back. But the rest of us, it's so easy for us to go into this mode, this intellectualism mode of asking why. And mm-hmm. Is there a reason? Because I was thinking, what personally, if there were healings, you know, what a fantastic atmosphere that would create in the conference, and all those naysayers would perhaps have their intellectual barriers broken down. So sometimes we can put ourselves into the, you know, if I was God, I would have done this type thing. And that's what I was doing. And I imagine everyone there was going through something different in their head. Whereas in the third world, either there was a healing or there wasn't. But they didn't analyse. It's this analysing.
But we have such a sort of the church in the West is so complex in terms of all the different kinds of histories and ministries. And over the years, we've gone through seeing the different, you know, individuals. And like David's saying, you know, sort of, I don't want to trust in a person because, you know, you've done that in the past and then they've turned out to be a charlatan or, it, you know, it just hasn't worked for you. And I think it is very complex what we deal with when we, as lots of different people with different backgrounds, come into a meeting like that. And we shouldn't judge one another by what we see. I apologise if I gave the impression that I was saying we, you know, people should have got up. And it's just kind of, I think, you know, everyone's in a different place. And like Joe says, we have to sort of love and understand and accept and just support one another and, you know, sort of deal with, learn to deal with things. And if anyone's gone away from the conference sort of keeping quiet about the trouble that they've had with it, then, you know, I'd hope that they would feel that they can sort of come back to one or another of us and talk through things as well, because it's not about expecting everyone to take on everything. You know, because
I think that there's an overemphasis on healing of sicknesses in our church, or isn't there? Do you think there's an overemphasis on health?
I think there's an overemphasis on experience. Perhaps this plagues more young people than older people who've been in the church a long time. And I don't know why there is, maybe because the word isn't being preached properly, but people go after experiential things. They like it. It's like the candy floss.
But is our seeking after experiential things like the success? Is it that side of things, do you think? Or, I mean, like what Joe was saying, you know, when the apostles, sort of Peter, walked past someone and the shadow fell on them and they got healed, you know, that's an experience I would like to witness or see, you know. But there's experiences of like the sort of I don't know, maybe superficial. I don't know.
I want to believe that Peter's shadow fallen on somebody. I want to believe that that is the normal Christian life, and we don't need to make a song and dance about it.
It's about God-centred, isn't it? That's an emphasis that David and I get really worried about in some churches, that the emphasis is on the healing and the experience. Mm. But that's not the emphasis. Our emphasis is on the Lord Jesus. Mm. He is the centre of it all. And yes, we want to see healings and deliverances and all the rest of it, but with the Lord at the centre and no one else and nothing else.
I think the thing is about our conference is that most people didn't have any expectations because they're not the type that go to conferences to expect healings, you know, because, you know, most people there have been to at least one or two others of our conferences. The sort of people that go to a PFI conference or CFI, you don't expect to see healings at a CFI conference or a Jacob Prash conference. And so when we suddenly expose them to this side of things, there's a little bit of culture shock. And I think
to be that, I don't know if judgmental is not the right word, but I wouldn't like to say that people don't.
Well, in general, they go for teaching.
Yeah, I know, yeah. but there's a wide range of people that
in general,
belong
I can't speak
and
for
support.
Everybody.
No, no, yeah. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I'm saying that, you know, when I go to church on a Sunday morning, I know that within my fellowship, there's opportunity to minister either within the service time or afterwards. We're always fully expectant of God, you know, ministering, working, healing. Mm. You'd be open to it.
But I'm just saying, just for the our conferences, they're not. Maybe now we can change the emphasis.
You've talked about it before, that there's been a progression from Foundations 1 up to 5, where, and each time people stick and people don't come back. Yeah. And you're saying some of the people that stuck for other reasons. Mm. So this was a very different experience for them, wasn't it?
You see, but God can minister in so many different ways. Yeah. You know, in previous conferences where, you know, we saw groups of people coming together and they'd met for the first time, or, you know, they were sharing rooms, you know, you'd hear that people were praying for one another, they were helping one another. Yeah. You know, God ministers in so many... healing comes in so many different forms. Mm. Not just the physical.
We're just talking about people
ailment.
Who have compartments where things happen.
Mm.
And this wasn't the compartment where it was meant to happen. They may, in a different setting, in their own fellowship, but even in their own family. You know, you pray for members of your family.
Yeah.
Okay, so speaking of things that happen outside compartments, I felt just from the Lord that when you were listening, when we were listening early to you about being desperate and needing God to move, I just felt that there's someone that's going to be listening to this and is in that place. And that really resonated in the heart when you said that about being desperate. And I just felt from the Lord that the Lord says to you, do not give up. Don't despair. He never promised it would be easy. Do not give up. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Do not give up. Just felt that was from the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, anyway, an interesting experience overall. But we've had more response from this conference than any other one in terms of emails and letters and such, and mostly positive. And even there, we saw people going through, you know, even during some of the ministry times, people who we've known sort of responding to what was going on. I'm not going to say any names, but, you know, there's at least two people that we've known for some time that were definitely ministered to as a result of Foundations 5. So things were happening, and I'm happy that it will continue that you said, you know, it's a progression. I don't think we could go back to the same boring old conferences.
Boring. Boring, the ones best times of my life, they were.
The other thing I think that was important in the run up to the conference was the fact that a few months before we'd been reading the Rhys Howell Intercessor book, and that I think that affected quite a few people. And you know, we were looking into the kind of sort of holiness and sacrificial living, and I think that's also something to do with you know, why we don't see God moving is our, you know, comfortable lives and the level of sacrifice that there is in our walk. Because reading, you know, those books, I mean, that's what led us to David Griffiths.
If you listen
and
to,
Brian Mason.
As I was listening to today, in both of their talks, David and Brian, it was this total sacrifice. It was total surrender, was a theme all the way through, and saying, it's not us, it's Jesus within me. It's giving things, and the things they were saying were for most of us a step too far, in a sense. You know, Brian was sort of saying, once you got used to Brian's voice, you get the idea of what it is like to be an intercessor, and it is giving everything up. And Brian has obviously had to give up a lot to do.
And we'd still recommend that people do read the
Rhys Howell Intercessor, and they've got to read it, absolutely, because they haven't already.
Yeah.
Definitely, yeah. Must read it. And also to go to their website, David, and what is it?
ECCTV.org.
ECCTV.org.
Every
creature commission TV.
Because they've just started a TV channel.
It's
going for a faltering start, but I'm sure by the time this goes out, they would have doubled their audience.
But look, we would say, look, don't be put off if they're raising the voice and stuff. Listen to the fantastic content.
I mean, it's the lifestyle, I think, that impacted us from reading the book before the conference, wasn't it? And just the level of trust and complete sacrifice, and you know, not having a penny or a pound in the bank. Mm. You know, we our security is, what is our security? I think that's what we have to question. Where is our security? Who is our security? It always makes me laugh when people say, oh, you know, Christians, you use it as a crutch, you know, or, oh, you don't know how challenging it is. You don't know how challenging it is to walk the walk.
I mean, I'm tempted when the audios are finished, which will probably be next week, is whether just to make them available to everybody, just to, you know, just to make them free, just let them go out, and it'll give, because you've really got to listen to them all in context and go through the whole week to see how things progress, because it was a very interesting story in terms of the teaching, you know, with David speaking on the Book of Ruth, all the way through David, Andrew, and then David Griffiths, you know, teaching on the Spirit, and your teaching, it just all really fitted together very well, I think, with a little bit of extra things like me, but, you know, I had to promote my book somewhere, but that fitted in, even that fitted in, you know, get the audios, and by the time this goes out, they'll be available, I should think.
We can mention things that are coming up in the summer, can't we? If people don't know about the Father's House summer gathering.
I should think that's probably closed
fully booked now.
I think it probably is, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Look what you missed out on.
Yeah, look what you missed out on. We'll talk about that when we come back from it, and they can go next year.
Yep. It's true.
Okay, good. Anything else?